Welcome to Real WW Talk, the podcast of three diverse friends, Candace, Erin, and Ricky, who are following WW, formerly Weight Watchers Plan. I'm the Erin part of the trio, and each week we talk about our health journey on WW, what we've learned, what we've struggled with, and what our goals are for the coming week. Now, there is no hiding, no trying to make ourselves better than we are. It's just real talk, because we can't change if we aren't willing to be real about what needs to change. On today's Real WW Talk, I'm reading through a new book. It's called Atomic Habits, and it's by James Clear. It is hitting the WW journey hard for me. So if you are struggling with building habits and feeling like you can't conquer this thing, you will want to listen to this week's conversation. Are you ready? Let's talk. Well, hi there. Welcome to Real WW Talk. I'm Erin.
I'm Candace.
And I'm Ricky.
Well, we're glad to spend another week with you and check in and see how you're doing on your journey. If you are brand new, the three of us like to just spend a couple minutes catching up with one another, finding out how our journey went. And then we just talk about something that we've kind of experienced this week and, you know, roll it around between us, dissect it the best that we can.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then go back and repeat the same habits. So
exactly.
No, we try and change them. Whose week is it to go first, Candace?
Erin, it is you. Start us off. We're so excited to hear. How'd your week go?
Let me rephrase this. I got the weigh-in I deserved, the week I deserved it. I had a week where I wasn't trying as hard as I could have. I had some more sweets than I usually do. However, I lost 0.6 last week.
Okay. And
are you ready for this? I have lost 4 out of the past 5 weeks.
That's a huge win. Yes.
That's a streak. That is a streak that deserves a Bravo star.
We've talked about consistency, and I'm working on the consistency part of it. So I feel good, and I'm going to even, you know, I haven't exercised today, but I've got myself even into the place where if I can't get out on my walk outside, then I'll go do something on the treadmill. Every day I'm doing a little something, even if it's not the full 30 minutes, then it's 10 minutes to keep me in that habit.
This is the only place where it makes sense, and it's a compliment to say that you're a consistent loser. Okay.
Yes.
Congratulations on being a consistent loser. All right.
Thank you.
Ricky, how was your week?
So I'd started off with work being very busy and me making choices to not eat at home for dinner, but on Friday, something kind of flipped and I was like, you know what, I'm going to, instead of, you know, throwing myself down the rest of the stairs, per se, as the saying goes, I decided to just say, I don't need to continue this streak. I know that I did a really good job preparing for breakfast. I did a really good job preparing for lunch. I can go home. I can eat what I have at home. I don't have to, you know, feed whatever desire like popped into my head in the middle of the day in the midst of the stress. And I went home and ate dinner and I felt really good. And I've been really consistent over the weekend and tracking and being intentional about just getting those blue dots. So that's where I am.
Yeah.
I was up 0.4 and I was okay with that because I just chose not to weigh in the week before. And I think I would have been up. So I consider that a loss.
I would too. I mean, like you said, because last week you were really concerned and it was enough. You're like, I'm not even going to weigh in. Mm-hmm. So who knows what that weigh in could have been, mm-hmm. but you know, even still trying to pick yourself up from that and then working on being intentional at the end of the week. Mm-hmm. To me, I see that as that's a big win.
Yeah. I hear non-scale victories all over, you know, on a Friday deciding like, I'm going to go ahead and reel this in. Mm-hmm. Not middle of the week. I mean, you know, you didn't say, I'm just going to wait until Saturday. You were like, let's do it right now, which is always, come on now. Like, that's what we always want to do is not.
And carry it through the weekend.
Yeah.
You carry it through the weekend too. Not just like you're saying, Candace, like to do it on a Friday is big. And then to carry it through the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When everybody gives you permission to not. So.
Right. It's like, let's change those habits.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I kind of followed that whole thing too of non-scale victory. The scale was kind of not, it went up, but it wasn't for me really based on not doing action. I started my new step bet. So I'm back to stepping and staying within my active and stretch goals for my walking. So I've been very intentional about that. But I also have been making recipes at home. Like I decided last week to try a new recipe and I really enjoy cooking. I mean, I don't make time for it as much as I should, but when I find a recipe that I'm very excited about, I'm proud to serve it to my family and I love the process of getting it together. And I intentionally went out and made a couple new recipes last week.
What'd you make? And so, did it include garbanzo beans or zucchini or?
I'm not going to even sit here and lie. I am going to tell you that it had my same old, although hold the phone. It had intentional veggies that I normally would not put in because I'm not a big celery, carrot, onion. I love onion, but not celery and carrots. And there's some French term that I'm going to.
Mirepoix.
Of course you guys do that, right? Because I was going to say la shulala, but it was, I made a chicken pot pie that Sweet Savory and Steph, you know, I love her recipes, and it called for mirepoix.
Mirepoix.
I love it. Called Ricky and I, high five Ricky.
Yes.
Cooking channel.
But I intentionally, at first I was like, I'm not going to put that celery in there. And then I said, no, yes, I am. I am an adult. I'm going to bake the mirepoix. And I did. I put it in and it was great. And my husband and son loved it. So I was proud of that.
The amount of pride that I feel right now for this moment.
Thank you.
Non-scale victory all over the place.
She's growing up.
I'm growing up.
Good job. Oh, Lord.
So you guys, I just started reading a new book that I've got to tell you about because I'm just kind of going, I think everybody who is doing WW or is trying to create some new habits has to read this. And this isn't even about weight loss, but I'm telling you, it is, I'm three chapters in and I've pretty much highlighted the whole dang thing. It's called Atomic Habits by James Clear, Tiny Changes, Remarkable Results. I had a business acquaintance had recommended it to me when I was at this conference a couple weeks back. And apparently there is also a YouTube video talking about making 1% difference each day. And what happens when you make that 1% difference, how much it changes things for the future. And we often give up when we don't see the results fast enough, but the small incremental changes are the things that make a difference, right? Like we all know that because we hear that in the meeting space, but one of the things that he taps into in this book is about identity, which is not something we hear. We hear about goals and making smart goals. And he talks about goals in here, but he talks about goals as they relate to our identity, and that if we're trying to make lasting habits and lasting change, a goal is a stepping stone along the way, but it's not the final thing. And like we talked about last week, we have the goal to get to lifetime, right? But then what happens once you hit lifetime? And he, I think if he was in this conversation, James Clear, the author, he would reframe that for us and say, well, you're creating a new identity to become this person, to become this healthier person at lifetime. And this is a stepping stone along the way. But listen to this. He talks about, he says, outcomes are about what you get. Processes are about what you do. Identity is about what you believe. Many people begin the process of changing their habits by focusing on what they want to achieve. I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to start running instead of walking, right? This leads us to outcome-based habits, but the alternative is to build identity-based habits. With this approach, we start by focusing on who we wish to become. And so he goes into this example where he talks about two people resisting a cigarette. And when the first person's offered a smoke, they say, no, thanks, I'm trying to quit. So it sounds like a reasonable response, but this person still believes they're a smoker who's trying to be something else. The second person declines the cigarette and says, no, thanks. I'm not a smoker. And it's a small difference, but the statement signals a shift in identity, that smoking was part of a former life, not their current one, and they no longer identify as someone who smokes. And it makes me think about our conversations that we've, you know, been having all along, the difference between saying, no, I'm watching my weight, or no, I'm not going to do this pizza, versus, hey, no, that's not, I'm not that person anymore. Like, I'm not eating that type of food anymore. Not saying that pizza should be off the table. You know what I mean? But like, we're trying to change those things. How does that resonate with you at all on goals versus the identity?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think so many times in this journey, I've had, you know, a lot of my friends outside of WW know that I'm on it. And I feel like I always have to have a caveat. You know, I'm on WW, but I know it works because I know I want to and know what they're thinking, or I assume I know what they're thinking, that, oh, well, you haven't lost it all yet. Where, so I identify in that situation as someone who's, you know, not successful in the way I speak about myself, but it's coming from a place of assuming whatever another person is thinking about me, and also not identifying as someone who is successful in this journey, even if it's, if success looks different for me than it does for someone else.
Yeah, I definitely, it reminds me a bit of our conversation about faking it until you make it a bit, because what I'm hearing you say, and I thought that book sounds like a book I need to go get, but in order to make those intentional statements, there has to be a level of, even if you don't believe it in the moment, projecting and saying it as if it's a fact. Yeah. And I love that, because there's so many things in my life. One of the areas that I have struggled with in the past is confidence. And I want to be able to say, I am a confident person. You know, I'm no longer a people pleaser. I'm no longer, that's not who I am anymore. I am this, even if I still feel mentally that I struggle with it. That's the only piece that still is tough, is when you still are struggling internally with identifying with what you're saying, even though you're saying it because you know you should say it. Does that make sense?
He says, and it's so great that you just said that, because he says, your behaviors are usually a reflection of your identity. What you do is an indication of the type of person you believe that you are, either consciously or non-consciously. Research has shown that once a person believes in a particular aspect of their identity, they're more likely to act in alignment with that belief.
That's good.
And that, going back to my agreements, sorry.
That's okay. I think, like, if I'm my goal is to lose weight, if I think about the goals, and, you know, in the beginning of this process, I would have probably said it's to be skinny. Well, if I identify as a, you know, someone who weighs, you know, in the overweight category as skinny, it's like, that doesn't make sense, you know, because that's not what I look like. But is my behavior, you know, what I'm eating going to lead me to be healthy? And should I reframe that to, I'm healthy? You know, I'm not saying I'm sitting here telling everyone I'm skinny. No, I'm healthy. And I have to reframe what healthy looks like too, because it may not be a size 0 or a size 2. It may be, you know, a different size, and that's okay too.
Let's take a quick break.
Are you suffering from chronic disease? Or maybe you're trying to live to 120 and optimize your health? Either way, the Your Health, Your Story podcast is for you. My name's Casper Schultz, and I've been traveling the world meeting with top doctors and experts in medicine and health with amazing discoveries that are making the incurable curable. I decided I had to share these stories to empower others who are seeking solutions but just couldn't find them. So join us for weekly enlightening discussions on how to beat chronic disease and live an incredibly healthy life that you won't hear about elsewhere.
I was thinking, for me, as I'm reading through this, like, I've had a pretty big shift in my mindset in the past couple weeks. And I started thinking that I am healthy Erin again. I'm not broken Erin again. I'm not depressed Erin again. I'm healthy Erin. And I need to start living as healthy Erin and making my choices as healthy Erin, because that's who I am. And the minute I started making that shift, I could feel the difference and I could see the difference in the food that I was choosing and not sitting down. Healthy Erin doesn't sit down with a bag of chips at 8 p.m., right? Healthy Erin is counting how many times she's eating out in the week and making sure that she's not eating out too much. Healthy Erin doesn't drink a lot of Coke Zero or any type of bubbly beverages. Healthy Erin focuses on water, and healthy Erin eats fruit after every meal as her treat and as her snack. And since I made that mind shift, like I said, I've lost 4 out of the past 5 weeks. Like, to me, that's such proof that me believing that I'm healthy Erin is showing up across the board. That's, I'm taking on that identity again of myself.
I hope healthy Erin does drink carbonated sparkling water, okay? Because that still counts.
You know what? I can't do the carbonated sparkling water because it makes me want more food. For me, it makes me want more food. It's not a, I'll do it with treats. Like if I'm having like a hamburger or something like that, to me, like I have to have something bubbly with a hamburger. I don't know why, but it just,
it sounds like an association. So
yeah, it's some kind of association thing, but otherwise it's straight water for me.
Oh, I just had never heard that correlation, like between a carbonated beverage and, well, I know like for me, soda or something, but the water I never associated with food, but I can understand. I guess I could see how you could have that.
Yeah.
But you know me and my obsession with the agreements before agreements and unagreeing, there's a level of that to what we're discussing. You're unagreeing with the identity of an unhealthy Erin, and you're agreeing with it. You're taking that and pushing it to the side. I just think all of the teachings, depending on who's teaching it, it's all kind of saying the same thing, which is you must make a choice to believe that you are something different and to act accordingly. Your actions will line up with what you truly believe and identify with, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes it's just doing it. I think my challenge is I get too much into my head of, well, kind of what Ricky said. Well, I can't identify as a skinny person because I'm not skinny. Right. Because I like factually, I'm just not skinny. Nobody would look and say that's a skinny person. So people, I feel like people would say, that's very great. You have great self-esteem. I don't really know where you're getting thin from or skinny, but healthy is something different from skinny, you know? Yeah. So saying something that I feel that I could actually believe in, but why can't I identify with skinny? Because it doesn't match my outside.
Right.
You know? Or thin or whatever.
And maybe skinny or thin isn't the thing that we're trying to identify with.
Right.
Right. We're trying to identify with the best version of Erin, the best version of Ricky, the best version of Candace. Mm-hmm. What is that? What is the best version? Mm-hmm. I'm going to even ask you that. What is the best version of Ricky? What's the best version of Candace?
I think the best version of me is someone who takes care of herself, despite how challenging it might be, despite what I want in the moment. I think the best version of me is also not impulsive. I think the impulsivity is a huge challenge for me. Going back to, you know, there's so many no's in life and challenges, and in the moment want to say yes to things that may not be healthy for me because I feel denied in other areas, but in the long run, it just hurts myself. So I think the best version of me is thoughtful and also just active and healthy and works hard.
Yeah. For me, I'd say 2 C's that just immediately come to mind: competent and consistent. Those are, when I think of the best version of me, it's I'm consistent in my practices and in my behaviors and throughout every area of my life. And I'm confident enough to go after the things that I know I deserve and project that in the way that I carry myself, in the things that I say, in the things that I allow others to do or say about me. Because those are, that's whenever, do you all remember in some of the old workshops, we had to pick a word for the year? It was always something related to confidence or consistency for me. I've always wanted to be that. But to your point, Erin, I don't think I've ever really truly believed that I was a consistent person. I always said, I really want to be consistent. Not I am consistent. I'm no longer a person who is not consistent. So,
and see, I would reframe for you that Candace is consistent because she's consistently doing step bets.
Yeah.
She is consistent about her performance in the step bets. And now she's on her third one, right?
Eighth. But, you know. Oh,
like third one in the past couple, like couple weeks, right?
Yes, this is true. Yes.
Yeah. And you hadn't been consistent up until that point, but getting into it. And even for you, Ricky, I would reframe with the impulsivity that you are consistently conquering the impulsivity, because even look at your Friday over into the weekend. And sometimes it's the things that we think we aren't the most that give us the greatest lies, because it's the thing that we're most sensitive to, that we don't have the best perspective inside ourselves or outside of ourselves, which is why it's good to surround ourselves with people who can tell us what's true about ourselves. You know, even if it might be, that might be something that's true in a moment that can hold us accountable, but, you know, do it in a way that's nudging us forward to be greater in that area, because we can conquer it.
Yeah. And so for you, Erin, you brought up healthy Erin, but what is that? What would you say for you? Is there any other word or any other?
The best version of Erin is living a healthy lifestyle so that she's not living with condemnation in her head and is focused on herself, because the best version of Erin loves to love other people. And she is also focused on giving her best yes to people, because I know that I'm not always the best at setting boundaries. If somebody calls me, I will come running, and I'm not always good at saying intentionality. I would say intentionality with my best yes, to be able to help people and love people and take care of them without losing myself in the process, because I will catch myself at the bottom of a barrel and go, how did I get here? You know, takers will always take what a giver gives, and having to just make sure that I'm giving my best yes onto things and being intentional in how I love and help people. But for me, there's this correlation between the weight and doing that as well, because I can't focus on other people when I'm so busy focused inside my head on myself. So
I know that we've mentioned that we're all people pleasers, and we do have, I think, a gift of service, all of us just helping others, serving others. Do you guys feel like the people pleaser in you gets in the way of your identity at times? I have an example myself, but what do you guys think?
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
I think I used to be a people pleaser. I don't identify with that anymore.
Good. Look at
it. But I was looking, if you saw me looking down at my phone, somebody actually sent me something that about people pleasing. And it kind of, Erin, when you were talking, it really spoke to me. It said, this is not being nice. It's people pleasing. And it gave some examples. Accepting blame to keep the peace. Operating beyond your capacity, disregarding your needs, allowing people who haven't changed back into your life, doing for others what they could do for themselves, otherwise known as enabling, going out of the way to accommodate people, being passive, and remaining silent when you have an issue. That's not being nice. That's people pleasing. And I think, Ricky, to answer your question, when I do those behaviors, because I looked at that and I said, I feel seen. Okay. I feel seen all over the place with that. It does play into my journey because I don't feel like I'm treating myself well. And I don't feel like it can cause me to feel stressed, overwhelmed because I'm pushing me to the side. And then it affects my choices with exercise, with food. Overall, it affects my journey. Mm-hmm. So now, as a reformed people pleaser, who is now a confident person who doesn't people please, you know, I do have that time back because I'm making myself a priority.
Yeah. Erin, do you have anything for that?
I to a certain extent, man, gosh, Candace, the list that you just read just feels like it put its thumb on me there. I feel like this year has been we've talked through this. This has been a reframing year for me and a reshaping year. And I've had the rug pulled out underneath of me. And when you've had the rug pulled out from underneath of you, it'll change how you do things. And I firmly believe that God allowed me to kind of hit rock bottom on some things to break the grip of my identity in those things, to show me where my identity is. And I would say that I do. That was an issue, has been an issue for me. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. My resolve is always, you know, time will change the resolve, but I'm really trying to focus on the intentionality piece of this because for me, that's the unlock that I'm not wrapped back up in the same thing again.
What about you, Ricky?
Yeah. What's your example?
My example, I guess people pleasing wasn't the best way for me to say it, but this weekend I was at church and there was a little break in between when I was serving and I was in a room chatting with some people and a couple of them were talking about their Peloton, how much they loved it. And, you know, I, as you guys know, love my Peloton, love the activity, but I could not for the life of me jump into the conversation because I felt like I don't look like someone who uses a Peloton consistently. And that, you know, that's a self-confidence thing, but I also, and a little less of people pleasing, I guess I used the wrong term, but I think also I'm telling a story about something that hasn't even happened. So that storytelling piece, I think is more what I was getting at, I guess.
You projected how they would perceive you if you said that.
Exactly. And I felt like I would have been making myself vulnerable because I was like, well, if that's how they perceive me, because I share that, then they're going to know that I work out, but I have food, you know, like, and I wasn't spiraling that much that I was thinking about all this, but I think that's was in the back of my mind is that's not what I look like. I going back to the identity piece and I, you know, the athlete we're talking about before, I don't look like an athlete. I don't look like it. And that's absurd. Like, you know, the practical me knows that that's absurd, but I don't think I have claimed that identity yet of I am a Peloton rider. I am an athlete. I am strong. I, you know, all of those things. I'm a cycler. Like I don't think I've ever said those words out loud, but I'm saying it now. I'm a Peloton rider. I'm a cycler.
But Ricky, I think that one of the things that we do in those moments that I could hear you maybe getting ready to say you wanted to do, I talk about a lot at work is people give qualifiers when they feel that it doesn't relate to them. So to your point, there was somebody, I have a Peloton too. And in the Peloton community, everybody knows when you hit 100 rides, they give you a shirt. And I was at Whole Foods and this lady had on her 100 ride shirt and I got so excited and I was like, hi, I said, I'm on my way to that shirt. You know, I still have a lot of weight to lose. I'm at the beginning of my, that's a qualifier to address what I was insecure about instead of just leaving it at, I'm on my way to 100 rides. How do you like your bike? I wanted to address the elephant in the room, which is you don't look like you've ridden the bike 50 plus times, which was the story I was making up in my head. Mm-hmm. But I think we do it to make ourselves feel, it's almost like when you sit on the couch, because everybody, this is a big girl thing. I'm just claiming everybody gets the pillow and puts it in front of you.
Yes.
Like somehow it hides something.
Or just
like, oh, okay. She's not that big because the pillow is right
covers
here.
Covers her stomach.
It covers your stomach. So you have disappeared. But it's that safety blanket, right? It's the safety blanket that makes you feel safe. That's what qualifiers do. So instead of us maybe kind of honing in and feeling uncomfortable, but staying and being in that conversation, you know, we want to be the pillow.
Right.
And I think that's
we're already trying to just address it because we feel like they're thinking it. Again, it's the stories that we're telling because someone else at some point has said, and so now we assume everyone's going to do it. So we have to go ahead and I've realized, I remember several years ago, two of our members in the meeting room who they're not in there anymore, but when I had started really losing the weight and focused and I was down with the 30 or 40 pounds, they said, you know, something that you don't do anymore. You don't make jokes at your expense anymore about weight because you don't feel like you need to add the qualifier. And I was like, I felt cut in that moment, but so, you know what I mean? So seen, but that's all that is we're trying to head it off at the pass. Before they get a chance to, I'm in control of that story. You don't get to hurt me. I've already hurt myself first.
Mm-hmm. And it relates to every area of our life, whether it be I'm tall, I'm short, I'm this, I'm single, I'm married. Oh, you know, I got kids. Mm-hmm. I'm always late. It's all of the things that we do. Yeah, it's my first house. That's why it's not this. Or, you know, why? What if we were to just stop and just say, I'm just me, because to your point, Aaron, people then hear it and they go, you're just operating as you are without having to, to give more. It's okay.
Cause here's the thing, Ricky, if you had jumped into that conversation, they all would have been so jealous of you because you've got a Peloton area with motivational posters and they're like, oh gosh, I just moved a sweater off the handlebar and Ricky's got a whole daggone section created with little towels folded up like in a roll, like at the gym. Like,
it's you know what I did to make myself feel better, Erin? When I saw her little room and I have a Peloton, I was like, well, the previous owner said that they had a Peloton. So I'm sure they left that there because and Ricky was like, no, just went and got this over here. You don't want to see my Peloton area. It's nothing that's like that, but
that's my Peloton is sitting right next to the trash can. So
it's okay. But I think another piece of what you guys are saying is, let's say worst case scenario, someone does say something that we, you know, if we don't give that qualifier, oh, you know, my house is messy. Oh, it's because I have kids. Like, and let's say I didn't say all of that. And someone said, oh, well, your house is messy. That, I think what we need to learn to do is not take that as confirmation that everyone would think that or take it personally. I know I don't know about you guys, but I take things personally, like whether it's someone on the road who cut me off or, you know, whatever it is, I take things personally. And that is something I need to learn not to do.
But also, Ricky, I want to be more like my husband a bit in that where he's very assertive. If somebody says something like that, that's rude. Number one, it's rude if somebody were to say, oh, you ride the Peloton and then being like, wow, that's uncomfortable. What did you mean by that? You know, they're going to make you feel uncomfortable. Why can't you go right back? But that requires a level of assertiveness that sometimes in our prior roles as people pleasers, we don't really like confrontation, but to say, what did you mean by that? That, wow, what did that mean? And then they go, oh, no. Oh, okay. Just sounded like a little bit of a diss, but glad you didn't mean it that way.
I love that because then you can walk away from a conversation feeling like, because I've had so many conversations I've walked away from where being like, I wish I had said something.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that is like, I said everything I could say to defend myself because I deserve defending.
See, I always figure it's the Holy Spirit putting his hand over my mouth. Because he knows that if Aaron was unleashed, it would be a terrible, terrible, I would destroy. Those moments where, well, you guys know me in my mouth, though, because Candace, your face. So you know, if I'm speechless in a moment, it's not because I'm choosing to, it's because Jesus just put his hand over my face and said, nope, 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 nope.
And it's completely Christian of you and Jesus approved for you to say, what did you mean by that?
What did you mean by that?
It's just because it's just a question. Maybe I misunderstood. What did you mean by that?
Yeah. And it's not mean to say that's offensive either. That's horrible. Like there's nothing mean about that either.
No. Oh, wow. Somebody's in a mood today. It's just the facial expression soon. You got to be like, whoa, where did that come from? Somebody's having a bad day.
I know we're coming close to the end of our time. I want to read you guys this real quick because this is another part of it. Like I'm telling you guys, I have highlighted this thing. Every time you choose to perform a habit, it's a vote for your identity. The good news is, right? The good news is you don't need to be perfect. In any election, there are going to be votes for both sides. You don't need a unanimous vote to win an election. You just need a majority.
Why do you have to end with like,
right?
Okay.
So they said, if nothing changes, nothing's going to change. So here's a simple two-step process. Decide the type of person you want to be and prove it to yourself with small wins.
Wow.
So repeat the name of the book and the author.
Yeah, it's called Atomic Habits, and James Clear is the author. And guys, like I said, I'm only three chapters into this, and then he goes into about designing an environment for success, how to create a good habit. I mean, he even has one about where cravings come from, talking about emotional aspects for things, emotions, driving behavior, rational and logical after being emotional. I mean, there's a ton of stuff in here. And if you're not a reader, check out, go to YouTube and search James Clear. And like, I think it's 1% and you can get the, like his TED Talk version. Mm-hmm. Of it.
Or just listen to real WW talk for the next year and we'll just pick each chapter and just overanalyze it for you.
Right. Exactly. Awesome.
Thanks for sharing, Erin.
Yeah. I can't wait for you guys to get the book. Like we should be doing this together because it's like
you need a book club. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It's the real WW talk book club. We're not girl. We're not to Oprah, you guys. I love it. Okay. Well, that'll wrap it up for us today. We wish you well on your journey. And, you know, maybe I think that's a great exercise for us to all look into and determine who is it that we want to be, decide that person we want to be, and then prove it to ourselves. With small wins this week. So what are your small wins going to be for you this week? Think about it. Maybe it's just this week you're going to just drink water. You're going to drink more water than you usually do, or you're going to swap your desserts out for fruit. You'll actually be the person who will eat fruit instead of a dessert. Or maybe instead of doing five desserts this week, it's two desserts. The wins.
Let's put it up on the Instagram and the Facebook and see what people have to say.
Yeah. I'm going to take some screenshots of the book and I'll pop it up into the group and whatnot for everyone to see. So, well, we wish y'all a great week on plan and that you're getting that much farther towards your goals and the life that you are building for yourself. Thanks so much.
Have a good day.
Bye.